Welcome to the Safety Doc Podcast with your charismatic host and prominent safety expert, Dr. David Perodin. Be entertained and informed as the Safety Doc discusses both best and bizarre practices in safety preparation and crisis response. The truth will keep you safe. Follow Dr. Perodin on Twitter at SafetyPhD.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Safety Doc Podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about purpose. But first of all, my purpose is to get through another podcast without my desktop computer studio. So I did order and am having a brand new system custom built. It will be installed in the next few days here. So after that, then we should be back to the high-end camera, the editing software with the really cool intro and outro, and then better sound quality. I'll be able to use my Yeti mic. So I had a machine specifically built with some solid-state RAM, and again, updated processors and things like that. So the computer guy told me, he said, you might not ever have to upgrade this machine. So I'm not sure, but that sounds like good news to me. So I'm looking forward to it. Right now, though, I am recording here off of the camcorder, and I do have my timer next to me because I need to get this at about 60 minutes for this to work within the time slot here that is allotted to me on the 405media.com. So first of all, an appreciation to the 405media.com out of Los Angeles, Orange County, for supporting this show, for putting the show into the regular schedule, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. Pacific time. And January 30th, we move into the 1 p.m. slot, and that will be daily. So you'll be getting some brand new times for the show, better exposure on the East Coast, and I might do a few more shows than my typical, you know, 1 week a show. Or I have two cats down here, my one show per week. So, and I think I'm going to cut back a little bit on these YouTube versions and go a little bit heavier on my SoundCloud and my 405 Media releases, so a little more frequent. A little bit of an update. I just got back from having breakfast with a former coworker who has since retired and is preparing to move to Arizona. So right now, as I'm broadcasting this, it is overcast and a little bit of flurries and chilly. It definitely is chilly. So it's somewhere in the 20 degrees range here in southern Wisconsin. So of course, as I'm talking with my friend who's mentioning, you know, right now in whatever Arizona, here's the temp. And yeah, I'm like, ooh, wouldn't mind that right now, because it definitely feels cold outside, even just to go in and out of the car. The wind is kind of biting. But so it is in southern Wisconsin. So I was talking about agency during the last podcast, and I think agency and purpose is hard to separate those two out. I'm trying. I'm not sure I'm doing the best job at that, and I might contact someone that I think has really done a great presentation on agency and purpose, and then how that also links to personal and organizational safety, because there is definitely a link between those, and maybe we'll at a later time have that person on. And I did mention to you that I have some interviews that are scheduled for early 2017, which are going to definitely be podcasts. They'll have a very high interest level. For example, a blind man who's going to talk about safety, what it means to him, and the awareness that he needs to have as he goes, and all the travels he's done and things like that. And hopefully a former NFL player talking about personal safety once you become a public figure, and the things that specifically that you know he was told and to look out for. And you think about that would have all of this high glamour side to it. And while that's there, it does create this vulnerability. We see that in people, actors and so forth, who say, it becomes very difficult sometimes once you become in the public eye to function, just in society. You have to really be aware of what's happening around you. So I do have my notes, and I am filming this upstairs, not downstairs, but it's not super warm up here. I got the heat kind of turned down, but it is warmer than it is right now in my downstairs studio, which again is in pieces as the new system is being built. So again, we talked about agency, which is more or less identifying, understanding who you are, and also the structures that define you and the beliefs. What's external, like if I introduce myself as, hi, I'm the vice president of this company and this is what I do, right there, your agency is very much tied to your job title and what you're doing. If you introduce yourself as, hi, I'm glad to meet you, these summer months are great, I like to be outside biking and fishing, that tells a lot more about personal agency that's internal. Those are things that you like to do, which you're not defined by an organizational structure. So just even as you talk to people and how they introduce themselves is very interesting to identify quickly where they're pulling their agency from. With agency comes a lot of power. If we want to think about power and that really comes through agency, and agency necessarily it's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It depends upon what you make it. And a summary from the last session, our last show was that if you become so externally, so driven upon the organization and moving up in the organization, defining yourself, once that organization changes or once you retire out of that organization, if you were to no longer suffer an injury, any of us can become disabled at any time, for example, and you get removed from that organization, just the challenge to reestablishing your sense of agency when that really was your agency. I mentioned Buzz Aldrin, and you can look this up, was a great example for that, of once he left NASA, reported he really struggled with agency, trying to figure out who was Buzz Aldrin. He wasn't Buzz Aldrin astronaut anymore. Who was he? Let's talk about purpose. So, purpose is kind of like agency. And the whole reason we're having this is the sense that if you're very aware of agency and purpose at any age, if you're very aware of that, so if you're an elementary student, middle school, high school, college student, adult, if you're aware of your agency and purpose, you're then much more in tune with your internal perceptions of how you're perceiving, how you're feeling, what's going on with you, and also what's going on with your environment, context, situations, much more able to recognize when things get away from that baseline. Maybe my safety is being compromised. It could be a health safety thing, or maybe it could be a personal safety, like an environmental situation that you're in that you're picking up. Hey, something's just not right, out here. So, purpose. We assign purpose to each task, but if we have an externally defined agency, then the purpose is already assigned. For example, if winning the Super Bowl is your purpose in life, you're a professional football player, and that becomes your purpose. My purpose is to go out and to do what I need to do to win a Super Bowl. Now, Terry Bradshaw, who was quarterback for the Steelers, in an interview talked about how, that was his purpose, was to be the quarterback for the Steelers. But he also was very aware of his own agency at the moment, too, of during Super Bowl games, of looking around at the crowd and realizing, this, how special that event was and the moment, and taking it all in. And then, keeping it to the point where he could still, be very serious, but also be very aware of what was going on around him. It's fascinating. Purpose is linked to mortality. So the National Institute of Health has done studies, and there's other studies that have been done, particularly on the elderly population, but not necessarily just elderly. And there is a definite correlation of, if you are, if you're elderly and you have a certain job that you have to do every day, let's say, whether it be, a crossing guard, or you have, some other, job that you're going to, or that you're taking care of somebody else doing Meals on Wheels, whatever it is, you have a purpose, that something that you are responsible for, your risk of mortality decreases. When you don't have purpose, it increases. And I argue that with students right now in schools, students struggle with understanding purpose. Purpose used to be, years ago you'd come home and, you were part of the operation of the family farm. I mean, you might be getting down some hay from the hay mow and feeding animals and cleaning up and had chores and things like that. You had purpose. That was your purpose. And now a lot of times, the purpose is missing. We can fill some of that in with sports, to some extent. I don't know necessarily if students are viewing academics as purpose or more like just something they're, required to do. I don't think there's probably as much, you could argue that that's purpose, but this whole element of purpose, I think has diminished more and more as we've moved away from an agriculture-based society. And, the value, I remember growing up and having, my summer jobs and then also my after-school jobs when I was in high school. I worked at a swimming pool, so I'd have get down to school, have football practice or whatever, athletic practice, and then, work a couple hours at the pool. I was like an assistant program director, help put people into their appropriate lessons and things like that. But that was, that was definitely a purpose for me. And I was coaching basketball too, was a purpose and things like that. But I think we have a crisis situation, to the effect of, we have a lot of kids without purpose. Coming home and playing video games is not purpose. That's entertainment. Where a purpose of that actual, contributing to the advancement of something, such again, the family farm of going home and to doing your chores, or even, mowing the lawn and things like that, versus, a sedentary thing of finding a comfortable seat and picking up a controller and playing a game. And I guess you could say it's a purpose, but it becomes this digital external, purpose that, again, really isn't, I would say, anywhere near the relevancy of what we would have had, 50 years ago, of coming home and having chores and things like that. I think we run into that, and I worked with a staff member who was completing a research paper on how high school students set goals right before they enter college. And her findings were that students just, they weren't being taught how to set goals. They couldn't define actually the process of how to set a goal, what was realistic as a goal, like a career goal, personal goals, how to measure goals, whether you consider growth versus criteria. It just was nothing that they really, you know, could sit down and say, this is what my goal, you know, for the next 6 months or for a year or 2 years. So I think, you know, we talk about it's hard to develop, you know, what your purpose is when you have a hard time setting goals too. So it's what I had a friend that, you know, when he grew up and he worked on the family farm, you know, the goal was, you know, to get all of the crops harvested, you know, before a certain date, because then there would be a freeze, and then a certain goal would be like you plant by a certain time, or, you know, there would be goals on you know, how much time it would take, you know, you'd want to get your milking done by a certain amount of time, or what your goals would be on things like that. So you had some goals like that. And then he also had some bigger goals, like he was saving some money and, you know, eventually wanted to get a four-wheeler, so, you know, was setting some goals like that. But yeah, that's goal setting seems to be something that is just, it's not well taught. And it's not well understood anymore. And I think that has a lot, you know, to do with purpose. So I want to talk about agency and purpose in my formative years. So again, just a big takeaway from this is that there have been multiple studies indicating that if you have a sense of purpose in life, for example, a job that you're doing, whether it be Meals for Wheels, or if you're even meeting with people for, you know, helping them during hospice care or whatever, but you have a reason, you get up in the morning and something that is going to be a responsibility, you know, for you to do, that having that purpose is linked to living longer. So, and just think about that. I don't know if we study as much, you know, in kids and young adults, but I think we need to study that too, of, you know, that what a sense of purpose means as far as then, you know, finding career goals and maybe having success immediately post-secondary. So much seems like in the moment now, in the moment, in the moment, in the moment. So agency and purpose in my formative years. We didn't have a snowblower when I was growing up, and we had a corner lot, and the part of town we lived in, a number of World War II veterans lived there. So, you know, this is back in the late 70s, and, or else their widows, you know, had lived there. So we, you know, my mom and dad and my brother is 10 years older, so at that time he was high school or else, you know, getting ready for college. But, you know, we were one of the younger families in the neighborhood. And I remember a few things and a few things of purpose that were very important, even though at the time, not exactly the funnest thing for a young kid to do. But so you'd have a big snowfall. And back then, you know, this is, you know, northern central type Wisconsin. I used to get big snowfalls. Like, the trucks would come through with the plows. And I remember in the country, like, visiting some of my friends, and there was always this chili feed for a snowmobile booster club. We knew the couple people that were in it, and they always gave us, we bought tickets so we would help support that. And it was at this basement of a church, so way out in the country, a small church. And I remember watching, looking side to side, and the snowbanks would be almost as high as the telephone wires. And that's true. It was outrageous. But we used to get these big snows. and my dad would go out, and again, he was a school principal for 35 years, and he would say, get your jacket, get your boots and stuff like that, and gloves, and we would go out and we would shovel. So we would shovel out our driveway, and then we had a sidewalk, a corner sidewalk, so two ways it would go, and then we had a regular kind of a more flat shovel, and then had these aluminum grain shovels, and I was always not as careful with those as I should have been, because if you run those up against, if one part of the concrete is a little bit higher than the other, it tends to bend up the end of the shovel a little bit. So my dad eventually would have to file those down, that would kind of curl up. So some of these shovels that used to be, like 14 inches long, were now like 11 inches long, because they keep filing those off. But, you'd scoop the snow, and eventually you'd come through with kind of the one that was a little more of a blade shovel to clear things off. But that would take a long time. That would take a long time to do. And then when we were done, we would start to go over to the neighbor's places to do that. And these, again, were the World War II vets. Eddie was across the road. And I remember, that we would that my dad and I would split up, and I would work on one part of a sidewalk, and he would work like crazy. He was out there going, but he did it because that was just the way he was and is. This is internally, really a strong sense of agency for him, and for a purpose. This is just something he knew was, if he wasn't going to do it, and it wasn't going to get done, for these people, unless, they waited and someone came through with a snowblower the next day. And some of these people, that's one thing I learned, too, is they'd be so appreciative, because they'd feel almost trapped in their house. Like, what if I have to get out for something, which they probably wouldn't have to, but they would, come to the, they'd see out there shoveling off their driveway, and, 18 inches of snow, and you'd be all sore and tired, and it might go until 10 at night, and there'd be school the next day. But I knew, while I grumbled doing it, like I didn't want to do it, I would do it. And deep down, though, deep down, I wanted to do it, because I knew it was the right thing to do. It was the purpose, as a younger person, fit, able to do that, to give that back, to my neighbors, who had, served during the war, and who, this was meaningful, and were always good to me, and good to my family. But that was a way that I also learned, and I got to see purpose in action when I got to see my dad go out there, and he would just stay out until the job was done. Never took a dime for it. And people would open up their doors and just yell a thank you out, and they were just so appreciative. We had one lady, her name was Katie. Or Catherine, and she lived on a house that was kitty corner from us, and her husband had, was in World War II and had passed, and she was kind of like the mother of the neighborhood. Had a porch, and would sit out on her porch, and as people would walk by, you'd always go up and there were extra chairs, and you'd just sit, and she was a great conversationalist, and would just talk about things. So she was probably, 70, years old or whatever. And she, we'd always make sure we got over and got her place, cleared out and all of that. And so, yeah, that purpose of knowing when those big snows would hit, that not only, clearing out our own driveway, which, we would kind of get ours functional, and then really kind of do the neighbors, and then come back and do the cleanup on ours. But that is something then for a purpose to have that purpose of passing that on to a generation that had done so much for us. And again, even though no kid that's 10 maybe wants to be out in cold weather, you know, getting pelted by, you know, blowing snow and stuff like that, especially, you know, at 10, there's a lot of other things, you know, you could be doing. But even if, like, my dad would have said, well, you can go inside, you don't have to do this, I would have stayed out and done it, because deep down, again, I knew it was the right thing to do, and I wanted to do it. And wow, I mean, for purpose. So I also remember with you know, Catherine, who again was the mother of the neighborhood, that I would mow her lawn, and she paid me $5 to mow her lawn. It wasn't a very big lawn, you know, but my dad would always sweeten that a little bit and like would match it with $5, because you know, I had a couple different lawn jobs, and you know, $5 to her was a pretty big thing. I mean, she was on a fixed income. But again, that was purpose of making sure you did a really nice job with her lawn, and you'd go over and you would edge. I mean, I wouldn't charge her for edging, you know, and you do it by foot. You'd actually have a shovel, and you would go down the sidewalk and edge it. It really looked nice once you got it done, and then kind of put everything in a wagon or whatever and haul it 3-4 blocks away to wherever, you know, we had a dump where you could dump stuff like that in town. But yeah, that is a really good sense of purpose. And getting into purpose too, you know, you learn about agency and purpose. Again, it's hard to separate the two out. At least it's hard for me right now. And I put a lot into this, and I struggle with this, and I think it's important that you hear these struggles, because obviously other people are struggling with this too, you know. So to have these discussions of what is agency and purpose, what is my agency and purpose, you know, when my dad was, you know, probably around 40, he would go down and take care of his dad, who was paralyzed, you know, from the waist down. And, you know, that was always, as my dad said, you know, he was always glad to do it. It was always, and he'd take care of, you know, his parents, you know, their, you know, lawn and do things that needed to be done. And again, a sense of purpose, but also a sense then of very internal, you know, agency of identifying, you know, who you are as a person, and not being, you know, hung up. Like, for example, you know, you could say, well, I'll hire like someone to do this or to do this or to that, or, you know, just get so hung up in your own things. But to identify, you know, your you know, agency of you know, who you are, I think for him really showed once he demonstrated the purpose. And the purpose, you know, was where he was going down and doing things, you know, for his dad that his dad wasn't able to do. It's strange because, I mean, I'm older than he was when he was doing that stuff, and I think, how would I have done that when I was that age? And I'm sure I would have. It's just it's kind of mind-boggling to sometimes think. But I talked to a friend of mine, and his spouse was diagnosed with cancer, and I said, how did you grapple, you know, with that? And he said, well, you know, once that happened, once we had the diagnosis, then, you know, it was very clear. I mean, you just instantly, the purpose was, you know, we are a team, and it was us and the doctors, and we're fighting the cancer. I mean, it becomes very clear. I mean, you rise to that challenge, and that it becomes your purpose. And that, I think, brings up another point too of, you know, recognizing that we're aware enough in life to recognize when our purposes come about, and our purposes to pass on that type of learning to other people. I want to talk a little bit about an example where I currently live. We had neighbors, and their names, they've since passed, but Bob and B. And Bob was in World War II, and very, very nice, again, elderly couple. And I had, you know, they both had health problems that had evolved. The longer we had been here, they were both pretty active initially. But I would go over and, you know, if I saw that their lawn, you know, their sidewalk stuff needed to be edged, I was edging mine, I'd go over and I'd just edge theirs. Or I might, you know, mow once in a while, you know, if their person hadn't been over to take care of that. And especially in winter, though, one thing I would always do is, and this was, it was, again, going back to when I was young, of just having done that, you know, where I would help out with snow shoveling. But I would take my snowblower and make sure that I cleared out their driveway and their steps, and if I needed to, I would do a little salting or sanding or things like that. Because both of them had pretty regular medical appointments, and someone, you know, like the cab would come and pick them up or something like that. And I remember, and they would both be thankful, they would send, you know, a little Christmas card and things like that. But to me, that was just something you did. That was again, purpose. That was purpose. And it goes from little on, and it would be something that, you know, ideally, you know, that I would teach or demonstrate, and that my daughters, you know, would carry out something like that as they, you know, got a little bit older. But I remember one time B, you know, came, stepped outside, and I just got done cleaning out. And for me, you know, again, I was glad to do it, because if that was my parents and, you know, there was a neighbor who was clearing out their driveway and was generous enough to go over and to clear out their driveway, so, you know, my dad didn't have to go up and down, you know, steep driveway and try to clean that out, I'd be very appreciative, you know, for that. And as I get older, you know, one of these days it's going to be, you know, people doing that for me. And even I have a younger neighbor who will, you know, once in a while, if he gets up early and there's no, you know, kind of, they go with a plow at the end of the driveway, he'll go and clean that out as he cleans his out. So I guess I'm getting to be one of the more senior people here in the neighborhood. But I remember this one time B, you know, came to the door and motioned me up, and she said, you know, it's so much of a relief for me when the driveway is clear, because I worry, because I have, you know, these regular medical appointments, and I am always so concerned of what if, you know, the cab can't get up here, or the person that is picking me up, or what if I have to walk, you know, down to the end of the driveway, how am I going to do it, and what if I slip, and, I mean, all of these things, which are very, very real. And she just said, you know, it's just, when I peek out the window, and, you know, I don't expect it from you, and, but it's just such, it's just such a nice thing. And I feel so good inside then, because I don't feel, you know, like trapped, or I don't feel it at this risk of you know, what if I fall or something like that. And I think, again, and even taking a little bit of time to talk and things like that, reveals agency and purpose. But again, you know, those are the types of things, you know, that purpose that I think is so important. And we see service organizations, which are dwindling. You know, the JCs, Elks, things like that. And I'm not pointing those out as saying that specifically those are ones. But I've read numerous articles of just saying people aren't being a part of these things like they used to, Lions Club, stuff like that. And where it's really, you know, purpose. You're trying to do something, you know, like you might be volunteering to put in a piece of playground equipment, or, you know, you see people alongside adopting part of a highway or something like that. Something that becomes, you know, a purpose, or, you know, mentoring other people, or, you know, whatever it might be. So that's something I think the more we have that, we connect up with others, we're aware of our environment, and it's very meaningful. So when I talk about like what I was doing with clearing out, like for Bob and B driveway and things like that, that was a safety thing. And it was also a way, you know, for me to do kind of a little safety check on them. They're my neighbors. I care about them, you know, to make sure that, you know, look and see if any papers were accumulating by a door or anything like that, you know. And so, again, I don't know how clear this is. This message is coming across, and I am going to move on to a different topic next week. But purpose, having a purpose in life, and how purpose can be an effective way to have this connection into your environment, and then also that you are aware of the safety factors in that environment, specific to people and specific to the environment itself. So I think that gets to be very very important. Let me see here. Oh, I've been out running the last few nights, and it's been interesting because it's been a little slippery, and I haven't fallen. I do have cleats that sometimes I wear and sometimes I don't, depending upon, you know, obviously the temperature and stuff like that. But I've been running, and I run kind of late at times. Like, I think once I get in like at 1:43 in the morning. Now that might sound crazy, but it's just because I work on other things and I'm typically a night person, and I didn't have to get up real early the next day. And really, if you're running that late, there's a specialness outside too, of like just a quietness, and you know, that there aren't cars all over the place and noise and stuff like that. So it's really, really invigorating. But yeah, I've been out running the last few nights at kind of a later time. And I always get a kick. I mean, I wear that, my vest and everything, but yesterday I was out running, and a police car was coming up the road and swerved off to the side and threw a light on me, and you know, I looked and waved. And then just kept going on, you know, because obviously that late at night is not probably typical. But I got a vest on, I'm an older guy, and, you know, so nothing to worry about, you know, there. But unless he's like, are you running away from something? So, nope, just out here, just running at night, just enjoying, you know, this cold Wisconsin night, starry, and you know, really this does make me feel great, just a great time. You know, one of the things, so later years, driveway, winter running, little external objects. Oh, yeah. So, talking about you know, purpose. So I think, you know, I'm also writing right now. One of the things I enjoy is that I have a lot of different things to that I do that I also think you know, bring purpose. So as I write my safety books, you know, I become more aware of different elements of safety. Like when I interviewed Jennifer Fritton recently for this show, and she has her search and rescue dog Serenade. I didn't know that there are, you know, very distinct patterns that the rescuers follow. If for example, if it's a person with dementia that wanders, you know, the fact that she said, you know, we're trained that in those cases to be expect a very linear pattern, you know, like follow the footprints, and if there's a fence, a 10-foot fence, they're probably gonna somehow work over a fence and keep going. So I'm able to do this, you know, show and share this knowledge out, you know, which helps other people. And then in the books that I'm writing, you know, the purpose there is, you know, to not only give people some technical skills, but also I think some relatable knowledge. Like, you're going to, you know, there are definite times you're going to experience anxiety, and you know, like, how do I handle this? And I, one of my first book, and I'll talk about this in a show, is called Lessons of Lower Manhattan, but it's about the boat rescue of Lower Manhattan on September 11, 2001. And just how chaotic that was, but yet very effective. And people had never trained together. So you have all these different boat captains of, you know, crews, you know, little harbor cruise thing, you know, versus a Coast Guard thing versus a, you know, shrimp boat or whatever it be, you know, coming together, but then having, you know, having a purpose, and then being able to achieve that purpose. So again, getting together, and as I've talked, and I talked about service organizations, and I do things with, I mentioned Cooper Hall with church, where we do our community meals, but there's always this bigger purpose that you can plug into this bigger purpose. And I don't know if we do that as much anymore. And when we do that, we again pull back and lose that as much purpose as you know we could have or that we used to have. And you know, when that happens and we become more introverted, we lose that awareness of external environment, which again I think leaves us less aware of safety, you know, changes in environment and changes in safety, and also compromises a network of people that you can depend on for different things. And then that sense of purpose, which we know through scientific studies has been linked to a longer, you know, living longer. So, you know, this whole thing of these larger purpose, I think that's so important for us to foster in children today, is a purpose, and that's where I would you know, really, if I were to go and to work with counseling curriculums, I would stress setting goals. What's your goal for, you know, a week from now, 6 months from now, and try it. And it's going to be harder with some kids than others, depending upon age. But, you know, to have, actually put out a timeline and make it visual and some things like that. And really, and start to talk about goals. Like, you know, when I was young, I remember one of my goals was like to own a Camaro or something like that. And you know, a lot of it was all materialistic and extrinsic and stuff like that. And, you know, my goal now, you know, having two friends pass of cancer in the past year that are, you know, my age, you know, my goal is to be healthy, to eat well, you know, to hopefully stay, you know, healthy, and to, you know, get out and to be a part of my environment, and then also to contribute to others and to listen and to share stories. You know, one of the cool thing about Cooper Hall, the stories that people will share that they just want to share. They want to talk about their lives. And again, I think we talk about, it's like Cooper Hall. So going to that meal, some people say, well, this is really the only time I get out and I interact with other people, and this is such a nice thing. Well, that's a purpose. That contributes to longevity. That's something to look forward to. That's positive. And sometimes I think, you know, once people, you become elderly or retired or whatever, you see that you don't have as much purpose. And you also kind of struggle with, you know, what's my agency? Like, I've kind of achieved what I've set out to achieve in life, you know, as far as like career, well, that's completed. And so those things, you know, can get to be kind of fuzzy. But so you have like a Cooper Hall and people are looking forward to it and looking forward to talking, you know, to their friends. And typically this is mostly elderly people, but not exclusively. It's people all ages and everybody's welcome. But one guy was telling me this story, and a fasting story. He said he worked for a company that made orange juice, and this was, you know, years ago. So he's you know, probably, you know, been retired for 30 years or whatever. But he's telling me about, you know, this. I'm guessing this is probably like in the 1950s, 1960s. This company that makes orange juice, and he said, you know what? Orange juice is so corrosive that we would have to replace the metal machinery like every 1 to 2 years because it would just corrode. It would just be like gone, consumed by the orange juice. And I'm kind of thinking, okay, I get that because it's so acidic. And then I'm also thinking, yeah, it's the same stuff that, you know, everybody drinks. But amazing story where he would just talk about, yeah, he said the equipment would just like be dissolved by the orange juice, so we'd have to, you know, continually, you know, replace it. And I'm like, wow, you know, just but it was so cool because he's sharing this story and he's experienced this, and no one else in the room really had that experience. And there was a man that ran a pharmacy for a number of years, and he was well into his 80s, and he talked about you know, just one time, well, you know, just how in the morning going to the pharmacy and opening it up, and you know, that you knew everybody by name, and you know, things weren't nearly as sophisticated as they are now. And he talked about a couple things that stood out. One was, there was a time a movie actress who was pretty popular at whatever time happened to fill a prescription she was passing through town at his pharmacy, and that was such a big thing for him. And he talked about In the basement of this building was this tank that contained some pesticide, you know, from like the 1920s or whatever, and the bottom of this tank was discolored, and he needed to haul this tank out of there. So he and his son are slowly getting this thing up the stairs, thinking if this tank leaks or gives way, like, they're going to have this huge cleanup, and it's just going to be this costly mess and all this. So he said, you know, no plan of what to do with this tank. He gets this tank, they get it upstairs, and they take it out back. And there's a local salvage guy who happens to just see them. And he said, hey, like, what do you want for the tank? And they're like, well, it's got some chemicals in it. Well, the guy's like, I'll take it. So the guy takes it, loads it up. Problem's done. Tank's gone. And so, you know, telling these stories of and also people so proud of, you know, when they would buy their first home and when they would have their mortgage burning party of when they paid off their home, and what they knew exactly how old they were, and they could tell you about their mortgage burning party and how they had scrimped and saved to, you know, to pay off their homes. And back then, you know, a home was $4,000 or $5,000. We didn't, you know, didn't make as much money, but you know, things that are just amazing. But those were all purposes too that they had. You know, like, they had a purpose to scrimp and to save and to eventually to pay off that mortgage. And you know, and today, you know, mortgages, so many people rent, and I think, not I think, but I had read that a record number of people age 30 live with their parents right now, most since 1940, let me correct that, most since 1940. And, you know, the thought of home ownership ship, for example, is just, you know, less common, you know, today for young adults than it was in the past. And part of that is people don't want to be tied down and stuff, but the other part is it costs too much, you know, if you have student loans and other things. But yeah, so listening to these people share these incredible stories, and it is you can tell of how the purpose, you know, how the purpose resided, and two, so much of what was a social element, you know, people saying, yeah, I remember when we get together for, you know, like dances down at the dance halls and things like that, and that was, you know, such a big thing, and you know, you take all your time getting, you know, ready for that, and you know, just things we, you know, just society you kind of don't do anymore, and just, you know, as a purpose to do that. And there was I'll share another story, and it was again an older gentleman who talked about in winter with the Cub Scout troop taking the scouts, again we're talking probably, you know, 1950s, that they would camp for like 4 or 5 days out in the middle of a forest. So they pack up everything they need and they would go out, and he talked about all of these you know, winter survival strategies that they used, and how, you know, you were responsible, you know, to set up you know, your tents and prepare your food and all of these things. And you know, back then you're cut off from civilization. You don't have a phone you can pick up and call someone. But imagine, you know, imagine the purpose of that as a kid, of going and having that experience. And then he still talks about it to this day, of being a scout leader and his purpose he found in that, you know, in helping scouts discover what they were capable of. And I'm thinking, you know, imagine if you were one of those scouts in the 1950s who did spend 4 days, you know, out in the woods, you know, with other, you know, scouts, and just what that experience would have been like, you know, the campfires and gathering wood and you know, making, you know, building up snow, you know, areas for insulation and things you'd have to put, you know, collect up leaves and stuff like that. But I think what you would experience, you know, your purpose of being out there, and then also your agency. I mean, it becomes very reflective, probably sitting around a campfire and thinking, or listening to stories of other people, or just having that time in nature. And again, that hyper awareness of what is around you, because you know, you're using your environment to survive. Or now our environment is what? You know, going to Walmart to grab a bag of burritos and some Mountain Dew. And again, you know, even if you did something like that, you replicated that, you go out there, well, you know, someone obviously has a cell phone and can connect up, and kids, you know, bring your phone and be able to play, you know, the games and stuff like that. It's not the same, you know, so that's, I guess, I don't know if it's so much a rant, but just to talk about purpose and making sure, you have an awareness of purpose, you help people discover purpose, young people discover purpose, talk about purpose, talk about goals. And again, to me, Bob and B, you know, really meant a lot to me, because when I was over there and clearing out their driveways, for example, after a snowfall, it reminded me when I was younger and imagining my dad going up and down, you know, the neighborhood and down on Second Street, you know, and doing that. And I, you know, I think, again, I would hope that my, you know, girls, you know, would do that, you know, when they get a little bit older. But it is, you know, it's certainly one of those things of a purpose, and then how a purpose ties in with an agency. I'm going to close this. We're at 53 minutes according to this, but I'm going to try to run a little longer, because if that happens, then it just cuts off versus dead airtime. But I read in articles, or saw it in a video, or I don't know what it was, and this could be fabricated, it could be true, but I want to talk about it because I think there's a huge point in here about agency and purpose. So imagine there is it's a upscale city, and there is a restaurant, an expensive restaurant, and from this restaurant, you know, there's business people who are, you know, there having a meal. And one of the important business people, you know, vice president, president, whatever, is looking out the window of this restaurant and sees a homeless man, presumed homeless man, pushing a shopping cart. And in that shopping cart are a number of aluminum cans and other things. And this man, as he gets to the corner and he's starting to cross, okay, so this guy from the restaurant is able to see this. A car comes by, cuts the corner short, nicks this shopping cart, tips it over. So aluminum cans, like all of this guy's possessions, which we might just consider garbage, you know, that you collect up. Everything is out there on the road, and this guy is scrambling to pick these things up and to upright this cart and put everything back in. This guy, then inside of the restaurant, you know, who has his suit on, you know, has his dry cleaned coat, you know, wingtip shoes and all of that, has seen this happen. And what he does is he gets up and grabs his coat, goes outside, goes right to where this man is who's picking up these things, and he helps him. He starts picking things up and putting back into his cart. And when he's all done with that, you know, he spends a minute and, you know, are you okay? And checking, you know, and when that's done and that guy is situated and things are okay, this business person comes back into the restaurant and sits down, you know, maybe goes, washes his hands off, whatever, but comes back, sits down, and then just starts in where he had left off, so wherever the discussion was. And other people around are like, you know, what's the deal? So, you know, homeless guy thing, that happens all the time. You know, why in the world did you go out there and do it? And, you know, his response was, why wouldn't I go out there and do that? You know, like, you know, and the quiet, and really the thought there's, yeah, I mean, everybody who saw that should have gotten up and, or, you know, at least enough people to go out and to help expedite that, because for this man, this was his world, this was everything. And the difference, if you take everything and back things up in time, the difference in breaks of what happens in a person's life, that is you pushing the shopping cart versus you eating that expensive meal, there might have been a few breaks that you know, changed those two courses in life. But it doesn't mean then that you check your agency. You're so big and so powerful that, yeah, I'm just gonna ignore that or just watch that, you know, watch him, you know, pick those things or just go back to what I'm doing. So, boy, does that talk a lot about agency. And then a purpose for that person, that businessman, to go out there, definitely shows a purpose of caring for fellow, being very aware of the environment, what's happening, and caring for other people, having that caring, that fellowship. And wow, just such an important story. So I'm here. It says 58 minutes. I know I do have a little bit to cut out at the beginning. I do want to give a shout out to Sprigio, www.sprigio.com, Sprigio.com out of California. A leader in safety and BOLI online reporting systems. Joe is the CEO of a company. They're across about half of the country. Really a wonderful man, and the company is growing, and Joe's very dedicated to user-friendly interface into student safety. He's also written a book about interfacing with adolescents and helping understand adolescents. But if your school, you have students, kids that go to school, ask the question, what do you have for a bully reporting system or a safety reporting system?